Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And you wonder, why is he writing Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham? Can't you just start writing that he was born in a manger? Or, in fact, worse still, can't we just have it that he turned water to wine? Let's start from that place. Why do you think that none of the four writers just started off with Jesus' miracles? All of them wrote about his humanity, because it is part of the grace of God that God became man. It is a fabric of God's grace. If you miss that out of the entire scriptures, you miss all. You miss that out, you miss everything. His humanity was well documented. Not just well documented, well proven. John, we said we touched him. 1 John 1:1 and 2. We touched him, we ate with him. We saw him, we heard him. Peter will tell you, we were with him in the Holy Mount. Because the moment you take away the humanity of Jesus, you have taken away a lot of things. You've taken away the justice of salvation. You've taken away the fact that he's our high priest who knows our weakness. You know, that was what the epistles were thriving on. So we don't have a high priest who do not know the feeling of our weakness. But he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet he was found without sin. Abi? That's Hebrews 4. In Hebrews 2, he said, even though the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also became a partaker of flesh and blood. So, the humanity of Jesus is too important. They documented that he was pierced. When he was pierced, water came out. Not air. He's not spirit. So the humanity is important. And I told you some time ago, I don't know, you know, I'm mixing these teachings up, school of healing and school of faith, that the fact that Jesus feels what you feel is good news. You know, sometimes you're tired. Sometimes it's a sin to be fed up. No. Is it a sin? In fact, there was a time in my life I wrote a poem. It's okay not to be okay. That's some years ago. At least it's over a decade and a half. And I said, it's okay not to be okay. Because there was, things were just not looking nice. So I said, So you think everything was just looking... So, is it a sin? No. Was there a time that things were not looking nice for Jesus? Ah. Let them put you on the tree, on the cross first. And tell me, it's so nice. Put me on Instagram. The cross is not where you want to land now. Hallelujah. So he feels what we feel. Was there a time he lost people he loved? Yes. Was there a time he was opposed? Yes. Was there a time he was hungry? Yes. Was there a time he had to pay something and he didn't have money? Yes. So his humanity is too important for us. So your humanity is not something you should be ashamed of. You know, in the past few months, we have been emphasizing that if you have been in our services, I think that should be norms now, Abi. That should be norms, Abi. What's Abi now in English? She? Alright, so your humanity is something you should be proud of. Say, I'm human. I'm human. Yeah, no. I understand. I know we're charismatic, Pentecostal, all of us. I told you, even though I'm Sele, I'm Catholic, I'm everything. If you know me very well, you know I'm everything. Say, Pastor, you do use candles. If you give me candle, I want candle. If there's no light. Amen. So, you know, there's a way we charismatics and Pentecostals talk and hear things like, I'm not human. I'm not a man. I'm a spirit. In fact, there's this song I love that time here, Elie J. I'm a spirit. No door is close to me. Oh, you know the song. She's like, you need the song because of me. Raise your hand. You too, you need some because of me. I used to give people that song. I'm a spirit. You need some God of me. No door is closed to me. I'm reaching the nation. I love all of that. I'm a temple. Temple of God. But observe the way he called Jesus. He said, he is Jesus Christ, but he's the son of David. So as he is mentioning the supernatural part of him, he's still telling you he's human. So even though you are born of God, but you cannot overlook your humanity. I've told you this story many times. When I was on campus, there was this sister that came to my room for counseling. I've said this story many times. And she came for counseling. With one mini skirt like that. You know, and there's a way I preach when I was on campus. was faith teaching. Abi? Faith. Man, spirit. Anything spirit and faith. That's where you see me. And I could have just said, no, I'm a spirit. Spirit again. Even though I wasn't really moved with whatever she wore. But you're human. Amen? You need to know that. Hallelujah. You're human. You're working with someone. The person is always talking about money and all of that and fame. How you're going to just blow, bow, like Transformer. And how things are going to just bang. How you go to your vacation. And you think it will not get to you. You must have a very nice estimate of yourself. You are human. He said, no. Ah, yeah, I know myself. Who are you? No, answer now. Who are you? You know yourself. I know myself. All those kind of things, I don't feel it. That's what Judah said. Amen. Amen. So, when I talk to Pharisees, I don't feel it. They cannot affect me. Until you give them account number, OP. Hallelujah. Am I talking to someone here? Hallelujah. So your man, even though you're born of the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ is the Son of David. You're born of the Spirit of God, but you're human. Don't forget, we looked at the genesis of man. Abi? In Genesis 2:7, how was man made? He was formed from the dust of the ground and God's breath. God made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So I told you, I said, that means there are two parts of man. There's a part that is purely earthly, and there's a part that is supernatural. Dust, earthly. There's a part of you that draws you down. There's a part of you that is frail. There's a part of you that is human. It gets sick. Your spirit doesn't get sick. The Holy Ghost in you doesn't get sick. Doesn't get tired. You see, that's why I won't be here for. You understand? When there's no fuel. The Holy Ghost doesn't get tired. When you're praying in the retreat. I was talking to someone. He was complaining about 8 hours prayer. So Brother David was with me and I said, Brother David, someone's complaining about 8 hours prayer. He said, it's too much. I said, you have tried. How do Igbo boys say it? Na money. Amen. And he gives them money. He say, come and pay 200k. And he say, I want to pay 20k. He say, na money. But more talk. Amen. So I told him, I said, you have tried, but you must improve on that. You must improve on it. You're already complaining about it. You do it once in a year. You're complaining about it. Just don't come to Glorious House Church. You come and poison people's hearts. Amen. When you ask someone come here, you say, hey, see pastor. See, this is what we do as prayer group. No, calm. You encourage that kind of person, is that clear? Yeah, I've told you there's nothing you do for long that doesn't have an effect on your life. Even people who smoke. They will ask you, how long have you been smoking? Because the one that started last year, his lung is still better than the one that started 4 years ago, amen. That one is still better than the one that started 20 years ago. That one's lung is gone. So there's nothing that the length of time doesn't affect. Hallelujah. Alright, so I was talking to him and he said, but I was tired. After he did not give us 2 slices of bread. After everything. Who was tired? He's not the Holy Ghost. Amen. His body. Because he's man. If you come for our retreat, a minister's retreat, and you don't get tired, I'll be looking at you. We should be praying to you. Amen. Someone told me, I'm tired. I said, exactly, that's why we are here now. You think we are not here to get tired? We are here to get tired. Hallelujah. As you are tired, I'm tired. Oh, you think I'll preach for 12 hours and I'll not be tired? I'm tired. As you are praying and you're tired, I'm tired. Amen. So you don't think anybody is a spirit there. Sister Judy, she's not tired. These people, it's because they've been doing it for long. They're tired. Why are you not tired? Oh, you're a spirit of God. Not tired. Hallelujah. But was it the spirit of God that was tired? No, not dust. So there's a part of you that is human. And there's a part of you that seeks God. Because you were made to be dependent on God. You are made to be dependent on God. You can't turn a blind eye on that one. The humanity of Jesus was documented so that you can know that he feels what you feel. Bible says Jesus was praying one in that evening. He was tired. He said his sweat was like blood. That's not God. That is man. And if you doubt that he came in the flesh. I was telling someone, I saw a joke on Twitter. 180 said, there's no God. That Jesus never came. So the pastor said, okay, I agree. He never came. So when were wheels, tires, when were they invented? The man said 300 BC. The pastor said, BC, before who? Say before we talk. Before Christ. Who is the Christ? You literally created time around him. Annus Dominus AD is the year of the Lord. You created time around someone, then you say he doesn't exist. You know? Say no be kolo be that. Alright, so the humanity of Jesus was well documented so that you can know he feels what he feels. So we said, you should not be ashamed to be a man. God made it that way to depend on him. Dust will not live. Dust will live by the breath of God. So man is both dust and God's breath. You can cast out devils, but you are human. And so we said, God made us to be dependent on him. Sin is what brings independence. Sin is what brings independence. I told you last week, I said, so you be careful of what you call freedom. There's a freedom that is dangerous. There's a comfort that is dangerous. There's a comfort that is dangerous. You look at your life, you know, if there are things that you can just do and then you don't get nobody to talk to you, you don't get nobody to correct you, you don't get nobody to say, why did you do this? You don't have friends. That's a dangerous freedom, don't you think? In fact, don't get married to anybody that is like that. That's too dangerous. You're not accountable. That's sin. That's the genesis of sin. The serpent said, you know what? I know that God said all these things, but God knows that the day you take of it, you'll be like him. You'll be free. You'll be like God. That's sin. God does not want you to be like him. He wants you to be you. Amen. He wants you to be you. Are you not comfortable with you again? I thought you said you are special. The line in your hand is special. Is different. So that one is not enough for you again. You want to be God. That's freedom. That's sin. So, what is God's plan for humanity? To be dependent on him. To be dependent on him. I remember some years ago, I was a teenager. I think I wanted to buy something. I can't remember what exactly. So my dad came back at night. I think I was like 12. So my dad came back at night and I just kept staring at him. Now if you know my dad, Shola knows a bit, you know that I cannot just talk. Now he's soft, but then he wasn't. So he looked at me and said, what do you want? And I didn't want to talk. I said, nothing. He said, talk. Now I can't forget this. He said, talk. Say it. So I said it. I think it was a game. Let me be too truthful. That was why, if it was textbook, I would have said it. You know, he just said, I want to buy textbook. He said, we should buy textbook. But for me to have been hesitant to say it, it must have been something frivolous. Maybe game or bicycle. I cannot ride bicycle. I always ask for bicycle. See, now I cannot ride it, so don't look at me. Maybe I can try. So, I told him. Then he said, so why didn't you talk? That's why I'm here. He's in a good mood, Neo. Don't think that's how he is. That's a good mood. So he said, oh, don't worry, I'll give your mother the money tomorrow. Go and buy it. Thank you. I ran inside. God just brought my attention back to it. There's no time you cannot depend on God. That's why he's there. You know, the way my dad said it, he said, well, why are you going to buy it yourself? Do you have the money? I said, no. So why didn't you want to say it? You know, there are things in your life that you know you don't have the, what do I call it now? You don't have the control over this again. So why are you not saying it? Why are you not telling God about it? It's not like you're going to fix it yourself. So I'm dependent on God. He made us to be dependent on him. You know, the hands that made us, they are divine hands. They are divine hands. He made us to depend on him. No, there's this very strange line of thought, and I corrected that some months ago, where, you know, people just say something like, are there not people that are doing this without God? You know, it's a thin line. I told you it's a thin line between being pragmatic, Abby, and being full of faith. Where you just say, are there not people that are passing this exam without God? Logically, yes. Are there not people that are buying these things without God? Are there not things, people who are achieving this without God? Are there not marriages that are prospering? How do you put it now? marriage are successful marriages. Are they not successful? I don't know what successful marriage look like. I don't know marriage are successful without God. Are they not people that are getting this PhD without God? And then you just say it casually. As a believer, be careful. Be careful. Don't fall into that trap. What happened to you actually can have God with it. See, never take God out of your life. Even when logically this thing is, you ask me to roll tire from year to year. What if I just say, by God's grace I can do it? What if I just say, God is helping me and I roll it? It doesn't take the fact that I've taken a very pragmatic decision the way every other person has taken it. But God is my help. It takes nothing out of the picture. It doesn't take away the fact that you did it yourself. Why I said that is because if you don't learn to involve God in the things where you don't need Him, you will not learn to involve Him when you need Him. You know, I was ministering healing somewhere and I said, sometimes because you have not learned to use healing, I'm talking about supernatural healing, for headaches and malarias. So when something serious, as it were, in inverted commas, when a sickness that appears to be bigger comes around, people don't, they don't know how to now access healing because they've never used it. Headache, you take paracetamol. I feel better. I feel light. Malaria, you know, some believers are the pharmacists. They can write it for you. 2 in the morning, 2 in the night. Amen. Or nurse. Because you don't use it at those moments. So when there is something and then they've taken what are the tests people used to conduct? MRI. They've done MRI and CT. And they say, oh, this is happening. Suddenly, the person goes into fear. But you know, if you have been using God's word and your faith for headaches, you know, there's just a part of you that just stands strong. David said, I have killed the bear. I have killed the lion. This one is not strange. The bear and the lion are not as big as Goliath. As big as a lion is, a lion is not 8 feet. Now you've seen someone who is about 10 feet or 12 feet. 12 feet is the way I read it. Goliath was about 12, 13 feet. You know what that is? What's your height? Huh? 6'2". Stand up. Are you saying 6'2"? Double. Plus extra. Plus real extra. You can imagine. Double means you cannot enter this place, at least. So imagine someone who is taller than this, and is big. Not, you know, you see the way he is. Dust. Sit down. So someone who is that tall and huge, you have no right whatsoever to compare him to a lion. But that's what faith does. Faith doesn't see cancer. Faith sees what God's power can overcome. It doesn't look at the name, because you didn't look at the name when it was a headache. You didn't look at the name when it was malaria. You didn't look at the name when it was just PCOS. You didn't look at the name when it was just irregular menstruation. You didn't look at the name when it was just, jaw issues. They said your jaw shifted. They said there's a malalignment in the pelvis. You know, you put God in the picture at that moment. So learn to do it. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? So don't take faith out of your life. Don't take God out of it. He's part of everything. Put Him as part of everything. So we said, who is teaching us in the school of faith? Huh? Christ Himself. Why? He is human and He is the Word of God. So there's no better person you can learn faith from than the Word of God who feels what you feel. Mark 11. So just dive straight into the water. Mark 11, verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Can we read together? We read verse 22, 24 together, everybody. Want to go? Wait for everybody. Want to go? And Jesus answered and said unto them, have the faith of God. Well, I say unto you, whosoever this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have what he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Interesting. You know, this is cheat code, amen? Cheat code. Imagine God Himself telling you how to use your faith. That's all you need to hear. This is not me preaching it to you. This is not someone trying to interpret it. Jesus himself is telling you how to walk in faith. How to win in life. He says, whosoever, we explain the whosoever, whosoever is the one who already has the faith of God. That's why in verse 22 it starts with, have the faith of God. Some versions say have faith in God. Have the faith of God, then whosoever has the faith of God can speak to the mountain. So this is not about manifesting. I've seen people say, I'm manifesting it. When I say it, it will come to pass. This is not a general human principle. This is not human principle. This is God's word. He's saying, the faith of God in you produces speaking. How did he know this? What was God's first activity? In Genesis, the Bible says, God spoke and God said. Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be light. So if you don't know anything about God's kind of faith, you know that it says something. It says something. You know, we have a lot of believers who don't talk. We don't talk enough. And I love what Reverend McCarkin said some years ago. He says, when you keep silent, you lose by default. You lose by default. You keep quiet, you lose. Have the faith of God. What does the faith of God do? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart what he said, but believes what he says. He said, he shall have what he... Oh, come on, I need to hear that from you. He shall have what he... Whosoever shall say to this mountain. Thank you, Jesus. So your mouth is not just for eating. For me, give me 3 portions. 2 turkey. No turkey is very turkey. 2 turkey. 1 orange juice. Say, what else do you want, sir? I don't know if you have plantain. Say, we have plantain. It's almost finished. Put everything as you mean. It's not much. You eat and eat and eat, and when is the day to use your faith, you keep quiet. Because your mouth is for cho-cho-cho. Worse still, some people use their mouth for gossip. Have you heard? I want to see after service for something important. You would think he wants to edify you. You already bring in notes and pen. Say, why are you speaking tongues? What I call you is not tongues. Go la tongues. Say, drop the notes. Have you heard that, bro, Shola? It's not like I'm gossiping, no. There's a way once someone starts telling you, it's not like I'm gossiping, you are gossiping. It's not like it concerns me. You know it does not concern. Why are you so saying it? It's not like I'm concerned, I'm just concerned, you know. We are brethren, shut up. Olo fofo. Amebo. Hallelujah. If someone messages you on WhatsApp and says, have you heard of Sister Judith? Sense that use number to the person. Ask her. Amen. He says, Sister Dami, that contact. Forward. Sister Dami, call her. I did one for someone. Called me. You know, those days of what they call it, group call. He called me at night. Hey, there seems something I want to discuss with you about Brother Akiniko. I said, hold on. I went to join the brother to the call. He has joined our call. You can continue now. He said, no. I just wanted to say that I've been impressed. Oh, okay. You can't make me your dumping ground for gist. It's not available. I'm not available for that one. Amen. Can't make me your dumping ground. This mind is for the word of God. The moment you start having gist, you know, you don't know how to walk in God's word because you listen to too much gossip. Hallelujah. Your mouth is not for gossiping. It's not for eating alone. You talk with it. You talk God's word with it. So Mark 11:23, look at the Bible again. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, or to this mountain, of course we told you that the mountain is figurative. Figurative of an obstacle, figurative of a circumstance, an unfavorable one, figurative of a problem, a challenge. He says, whosoever shall say to this mountain. And a lot of people have misused faith, and they think faith is by saying, there's no mountain. So, what a lot of people just do is, there's no mountain. No, I'm strong. Faith is not saying there's no mountain. Faith is saying the mountain needs to hear your voice. Faith is talking to the mountain. Meaning, I'm not going to say there is no pain. So, let's say there's a pain. There's no pain. No, there's a pain, but God's power is working. It won't be there any longer. There's this pain I feel, but I know that the Holy Ghost is working in me. I know that God's healing is mine. I know that my body is yielding to God's power. It has happened before. It is happening again. My body is God's temple. That is faith. Faith is not saying, oh, there is no mountain. No! Faith is saying to the mountain, you are going to look at the mountain and you are going to say, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says you can be moved, you'll be moved. If God wants the mountain there, He won't say you should move it. He says you move it. He says you move it. Meaning that there are things you can do with your mouth. There are wars you fight with your mouth. There are wars you fight with your mouth. He says you say to the mountain, because that's the thin line between faith and lying. No one's flinging car key. Where's the car? No car. You now want to buy key holder and fake key. He said, if I think it will happen. That's not faith. The money you need to buy key holder, you should save it as part of the you should save it. It's my eventually after the money you use to buy car. Amen. Say, my car is at home. You are lying. Say, I don't have a car now, but I want one. And I'm going to get one. Because God meets my needs. You see how to work in faith. It's simple. You don't have to lie. Alright, so faith is not saying there's no mountain. That's what I'm talking about. Faith is saying to the mountain. Imagine David going to Goliath and say, I can't see you. You will know. You will see him very soon. You will see him. You will see God. Hallelujah. See, I can't see him. See, Saul said, wear this helmet. Take this sword. So I can't see any giant. Saul said, no, you're not walking the right path. He's here. I can see him. Come like this. I can't see him. By the time Goliath does what Goliath does, you will think, I can see him from afar. Hallelujah. You are not going to say there's no giant. No. You are going to say what God has said about the giant. If you don't want it, you talk about it. You talk to it. So another thing is, he didn't say talk about the mountain. So we said, number one, faith is not saying there's no mountain. Then number two, faith is not talking about the mountain. You know, that's a mistake a lot of Christians make. And they say, I've been talking, no, pastor, I've been talking. No, you have not been talking to the mountain, you've been talking about it. I don't even know this country. You know, some people are just fond of murmuring. If you like, make them president of Nigeria. They will murmur. They will say, even the president is not doing anything. You are the president, okay? You are. But because you are so used to complaining, you've forgotten you are the president. See, even this country is not working. You are the president already. I don't even know. Every time, everywhere I just go, if I apply for it, they will say, it's only me. You're not talking to the mountain, you're talking about it. The mountain is glad. Amen? What's the point if David keeps talking about Goliath? They've been talking about him since. He's there. He doesn't move. He won't move by talking about him. Saul has promised everybody. He said, I'll give you my daughter. That's what some of the soldiers said. I'll give you my daughter. I'll give you half of my kingdom. If you can just leave it. They've been talking about Goliath for days. Talking about the problem does not solve it. See, every time I write an exam, I just don't know what happens. I don't know, even if I read. You're talking too much in the wrong direction. You're talking too much in the wrong direction. The spies that Moses sent, he sent 12 of them, yeah? Joshua and Caleb, full of faith. The 10 other ones, he did not talk about the problem. They said, when we got there, prophet of God, we are okay, yeah? He said, we are not okay. God promised us a land. He said, Moses, me that I said we are okay. He get away till I don't see. What did you see? He looked at the other one and said, Adam, should we tell the man of God? I said, don't fill my mouth too. I'm even thinking we are going to survive like this, because if they say they want to take even this place that we are in. And then he said, we are like grasshopper. See, that's the summary. We are like grasshopper in their sight.
the way they will finish us. You know the funny thing, the giants have not even seen them. The way they will finish us. They keep talking about the mountain. That's not faith. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, whosoever shall say to this mountain, and then you give direction to it, be moved, be cast into the sea. Faith is saying what you want, how you want it, when you want it. It's saying what you want, how you want it, when you want it. You say to the mountain, you go to the sea. I don't want to see you ahead. I know I'm not going to walk in the sea. So you move into the sea. There's something you're not comfortable with. There's a part of your life that you've been up and about struggling with it. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Don't act like it's not there. That's not faith. So I'm just going to act like it's not there. I'm not going to act like, whatever happened just happened. Calm. Take it. Sit it down. And tell it God's word. Be full of faith. Be full of faith. You know, faith works God's power. Faith works God's power. Faith works God's power. Last week we said there are three elements of faith. You are going to say it. You're not going to doubt it. Then you're going to what? Believe it. You're going to say it. You are not going to doubt it. And you're going to believe it. That's faith. Again, we said you're not going to say there is no mountain. Faith is not, you're not going to talk about the mountain. Some people have, they've spoken about the problem so much. Everybody in your life already knows what you are passing through. Say, hey, you know that your own problem? You know that your own problem? That your own situation now? That's not my situation. What kind of nonsense is that one? That's your own, I don't have a problem, I beg. Say, that your own situation. Okay, it's not a problem, that your own challenge. You've already possessed it. It's hard for God to change it. Amen. Because you said it, you believe it, you don't doubt it. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So you tell the mountain where to go. You don't say there's no mountain, that's a lie. You don't say there's no lack, that's a lie. If there's a lack in your life, if there's something you don't say, there's no lack, there's no lack. No, I'm not sick. You obviously are. As I am like this, I'm not sick. You're growing thinner. You look at yourself in the mirror, you can't recognize yourself. That's not the time to say you're not sick. That's the time to say, I don't know what is going on in this body. This is what the test result says. But this is what God's word says. I'm walking in healing. I'm walking in healing. No, I believe that God's power does not need a diagnosis. Amen. You know, whatever is happening, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the healing power of God is working now. You know, well, I don't know. God, I'm seeing this account, I'm not happy. How about that? You can talk to God like that. You look at your account balance and you say, God, you need to see. I've said it before. Amen. I was in school. I said, God, you need to see. And I want to go and preach. See. I was in front of a mirror. I use the mirror a lot. See. Is this good for a child of God? So, as I don't get money now, my needs are met today. And I went out. One way or the other, I will eat. In fact, that night, I ate and I had change. And I told God as I was going to bed, I said, tomorrow we move again. Now I'm going to explain how to walk in abundance to Hallelujah in the school of faith. It's going to go beyond school of healing a bit. You know, how to also walk in more. Amen. I told God, I said, that night I ate Indomie. Mama D. Yeah, that Indomie. 3 eggs. Even when I had money, I didn't buy 3 eggs. Ah, God, they do things so. 3 eggs, Ben bought 3 eggs for me. Went to buy fish from OPH side. Put fish. Indomie egg, fish. Too much protein, thank you. Bought me my favorite. I will not mention the drink. Bought it. Very cold one. I said, Jesus, you love me too much. This is great. Tomorrow we move again. No, tomorrow I went in front of the mirror again in the bedroom. I said, God. This I can't balance. It was like that. God corrected me. I said, you can't live by miracles every day. And I think I taught it. I taught it in a semester after that. I told people that God does not want you to live by miracles. He wants you to live in plenty. Amen. So you don't need a miracle every time. Amen. You don't want a miracle of you barely pass an exam. You want to pass, Abi? You don't have to be praying every exam time. To God, draw. CGP. CGP, God. Binary. You don't get the joke, don't worry. Your GP is binary. Binary number. Hallelujah. So, we said faith is talking to the mountain. And we said the three elements would be, you say to the mountain, you don't doubt what you said. Because one of the things that pull down what God is doing is doubt. Doubt. And I explained to you last week, how does doubt come? Doubt comes primarily by what you have heard before. By what you've heard before. So they said, everybody that has this sickness, they don't need to survive it. In fact, they always manage it at the end of their life. Everybody that just feels something like this, there's a way you feel. You know, only two people are felt like that in the world. And one died. Like the second one. Doubt comes by what you hear. Faith comes by hearing. Doubt, same thing. And so, because of you have heard many things. Listen very well, look up. Because you have heard many things, where does the devil now express himself? Not in your words. In your head. Imagination. You want to know doubt? Check what you think. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look, there's someone here. All your life, and I'm talking until now, you have always thought you can never be more than bang average. You know, in your head, when people just say all this faith thing, even as we're teaching faith, you know, you just feel that some people are luckier than you. No, you're lucky. You're lucky. You're lucky. You're lucky. Luck is on your side. You know, some people have that. You just think like that. You don't say it out. As you say, luck is on my side. Luck is on my side. Well, somewhere in your head, you have just been defeated. I would never know defeat. No, just say, wouldn't manage life like that. You say, this life. You just feel you can't be lucky. That's doubt. There is nothing God can do to help that one. That's doubt. Look at those spies. They said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. How did you imagine it like that? Even if they are giants, you can't be like grasshopper. Except they are like Babel. You can't be like grasshopper in their sight. What did the Bible say? It said, and so they were. It's not hard. They said we are like grasshopper. The Bible says, and so they were. That is, there is nothing they can do. They are like grasshoppers. They died. The 10 of them and everyone that believed them. They died. They died in that wilderness. They didn't see that land. And so Joshua got smarter. When he was going to send his own spies, he said, don't tell everybody. Because Moses told the spies, relay the message to everybody. He said, the entire congregation of Israel, have you seen grasshopper before? He said, yeah. Tata. Tata, you said it right. That's the Greek word. So we were. So Joshua, when he sent his own, he said, come and report to me. Me, I will tell the people what to say. Amen. Because doubt spreads. Doubt can spread. I remember there was an Holy Ghost meeting we had in Ibadan. We gave one brother mic. I used to brother Michael. We gave one brother microphone. And he started saying, there's a spirit of death I just see around. The funny thing, if you're going to say there's a spirit of, at least, end your prophecy. Prophecy is for comfort. Is your own prophecy not bring comfort to? He brought, and all of us were just sweating. You would organize it. I had to meet my guy. I said, what's this guy saying now? Me, I didn't have patience that time. They know me. I just went to him and I collected mic. I said, what are you saying? He's saying rubbish. Kneel down there, let's lay hands on you. Everybody point to him. We use that as a point of contact against death. You always talk. Now I need the point of contact. You know, because you want to be careful who you give the microphone to. Amen. Because doubts can spread. Primarily in your imagination. You have imagined that you are going to marry at 50. Say, with the way it's going like this, Will I even be able to have children? You just imagine nonsense. Some people, you are traveling. You are imagining that that trailer that is just coming by the side, it's just eat us. You don't want it, but you imagined it. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't lie. You know what I'm talking about. You went for a boat cruise, and you already imagine yourself drowning. You will not need faith if you stay at home. You already imagine it. Some people don't like, imagine I'm in the hospital and I need kidney. Okay, you Abi. Let's be clear about this example. You, okay? Imagine that someone doesn't even die now. Why are you imagining it? You can work better with your imagination. Amen. I told you how God used it for Israel. Snakes, serpents were biting them. And so God told Moses, you know what you're going to do? Raise a blazing serpent. Because they were not going to get you. Moses was already praying. They were doing everything for them. They were attending to them. Nobody got healed until they raised a blazing serpent. So that anybody that the serpent bites will now look up and he'll be fine. Why do you think he's fine? He's seeing the same thing that bites him dead. So God is teaching them the power of your mind. You use your mind right. Use it well. So imagine I will never make it like this now. Imagine. I'm dealing with our family. Imagine. My imaginations are pure. No, Philippians 4:8 told you, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, think about it. Philippians 4 verse 8. You think about those things. Because doubt comes in your mind. So you be careful about what you listen to. I told you about during the COVID. I was together with some of the leaders. You know, the news, at first, everybody was not scared at first. You know what I'm talking about now? It's not these things that will just go. Then suddenly, they said, nobody should come to work. I said, like it's getting serious. They've closed down schools. University said everybody should go. Maybe it's serious. Then suddenly, they start telling you, someone has died. You know, and then, the World Health Organization, was it World Health Organization that released a report and they were projecting the deaths in Africa? And when I saw that, I said, in the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen. And we were listening to the news. Myself, bro, oh well, bro. But Faith, you were there. And bro, Pam. I think it was just four of us, I think. Eh? And Sadebi used to come. Who else used to come? Shola? Damola? Damola, that time was very... Let's leave him. You know, and as I see their eyes, anytime we watch the news, and people are doing, you know when men of God are doing, oh God. You know, it's not faithlessness, amen. It's at the border. Oh God, what will not happen like this? And I started perceiving that, no, it's like this news is not, I told them, I said, we are not going to listen to the news till further notice. So what are we now going to be doing? We'll play game. And we'll play ball. And we're watching, what's the name of that family drama? Faith, you're not watching with us. Eh? Eh? African Magic Family. And what's the name of the program? The Johnsons. Something like that. Something around that. I don't even know this, but let's just be watching that one. Because you don't want to surround yourself with information that can shrink your faith. And that was the time that someone said, Pastor, I cannot swallow. I said, me too. Pastor, my mouth, I cannot taste. I said, me too. The pepper I ate, I cannot taste. I said, Pastor, no, this was like the midnight. I said, my own too, exactly. You know, the funny thing is, at a point, I could not taste things. I could not swallow too. I had to tell them to help me make eba. And I looked at the eba like this. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. By the time I took Eba, of becoming did that, by the power of the Holy Ghost, it's working. I started tasting immediately Eba Bono on the taste skin. All the palates came alive. I'm alive. You don't catch me. Yeah, you don't catch me. Amen. So surround yourself with the right information. You want to walk in faith? Surround yourself with the right information. So I'm full of faith. Come on, say I'm full of faith. So, we said he is the son of David, the son of Abraham. How did David use his faith? In 1 Samuel 17, please turn there. You learning something? So we're in the school of faith.
Learning how to use our faith to win in life. Learning how to walk in faith. It's not just money. Peace. Good health. Direction. You know, even in your ministry, in your walk with God, you would always need faith. So we said faith will be, you say, you don't doubt what you said, and you believe what you say. So we are still looking at, you say and you don't doubt. We still get to the believe it part. Alright. 1 Samuel 17, are you there? So, the background is, Goliath came to face Israel. And oftentimes or not, in big battles like this, you don't bring one representative. It's in small battles and insignificant battles that nations will now donate one person and say, fight, whoever wins. In big battles, you go head to head. But somehow the Philistines were confident. If you had Goliath on your side too, wouldn't you be? They were confident that nobody can beat this guy. So they said, give us a man from you. We have given you our man, obviously. If you can defeat him, you take us. Bible says for days Goliath kept coming out. Goliath of Gath. He said, give me somebody now. Are you guys not enough? Is your God not defending you again? And we had 1,000 army shaking in their armors. They had helmets on. They had shield. They had a breastplate. They had iron belt. They had boots. If you were a layman, you say, you have everything and go. Don't let me go. Why? Then David comes. And he said, I'm going to bring this one down now. He said, I'm not the one you go and tell. Go and tell the king. In this kind of thing, I'm not involved. And the king said, I understand. You know this youth, our youth. You know, the way people talk to you when you're young. Oh, this is our youth. And we have been there. So I said, when I was a small child, ask Samuel. No, there's a way I fight. Well, there, you must be wise. If Agbalagba has not spoken to you before, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you must be wise. We too have done it. But there's wisdom. After the Saul sermon of fear, he says, take this helmet. If you had the helmet, why did you not go? If I'm David, I'll ask question. You had this helmet since all these days. He said, take this helmet, take this sword, take this shield. Oh, they're available for me, but not for you. You know? And David said, if you had the helmet and you did not go with it, I don't need to go with it. It means you know that the helmet cannot win battles. And he said, I have fought the lion. I have fought the bear. Amen. I told you, the little things you use your faith for eventually count. The little things, seeming little things. There's no little victory. It's a victory. What looks like, oh, this one is not really a real problem. There's no need to use faith. No, use it. Use it. Use it. He said, I've slain the lion. I've slain the bear. He says, this uncircumcised Philistine, you talk to the mountain. Don't say, these giants. Giants. Uncircumcised Philistine. Observe the change in their words. Eliab, all the soldiers were calling Goliath a giant. Says the Goliath of Gath. They were ailing the problem. You don't know. You are talking like this. It's cancer we are talking about. It's cancer. Is it not a sickness? Abi has graduated from being a sickness. So his own employment you are talking about. I've been unemployed for 10 years. 10 years. It's a family issue. Why are you glorifying it? God's power works everywhere. Amen. I told you, it doesn't need diagnosis. No, God's power does. God's power does not ask you. So, when did this start? Okay. If you touch this place, you feel pain? Yes, okay. What's this place? Bilateral. God's man, I don't care about that one. Healing is healing. Amen. Whether it's a headache, whether it's an ulcer, whether it's a cancer, in the name of Jesus, we are walking in divine healing. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I'll go. But observe, let's start reading. Verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 stones of the brook, and put it in a shepherd's bag. Are you looking at the Bible? Don't look at me. He put it in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a script. And his sling was in his hand,
And he drew near unto the Philistine. Now someone said it chose 5 stones because of Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. You are a comedian. Now, I've told you before, he chose 5 stones apparently because there are 5 giants. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 21, you observe that there are 5 giants in the army of the Philistines. The remaining 4 eventually died. 2 Samuel chapter 21, from verse 16 to 22. Some versions, some history has it that 4 of them were Goliath's brother. Some said it's just one of them, and the 3 of them were just other giants. But however you think about it, there were 5 giants in the army of the Philistines. So, it took 1 stone for 1 giant. He was not going to miss any target. In case you want to rebuff your bargain, because I will kill you. In case you now want to now send another giant, there's another stone. Amen. 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 Probably I know they too much for faith. Hallelujah. The same faith that took care of that one will take care of the others. So he saw the problem. He said, okay. And he took 5 stones. 1 per giant. It's not J-E-S-U-S. My bad. Sorry. Because Jesus, grace is 5 letters. Jesus is 5 letters. What about death? Huh? What about death? What about, what else again? Say faith too is 5 letters. Are you observing 5? There's a theology of 5. Yeshua in the Greek, in the Hebrew, is 6. So is Tinubu. Amen. Hallelujah. What am I saying? Nothing mad. All those things are just nonsense. They are called old wise fables. Hallelujah. Praise God. I ain't abuse anybody. Abelko. I love everybody. I'm for everybody. Amen. Amen. So he took 5 stones. Verse 41. Are you there? 1 Samuel 17, verse 41. And the Philistines came on and drew near to David. And I said this last week. I said, sometimes because you're using your faith, listen, he's running towards the Philistines with his stones and his bag. You'd have thought, oh, if I use my faith, the giants will run back. No. That was the Philistines ran towards him. So sometimes, in the genesis of your faith, as you start using it, the problem does not disappear. This is what you learn in the school of faith. Sometimes you think, oh, because I've started using my faith, the problem will just start disappearing. No. He ran towards Goliath ran towards him. The problem is getting bigger. I think if Goliath was afar, it's probably better. Abi now, come on. Because he's running towards you now. That's more dangerous. Number one, because he has a sword, you don't have it. You have a stone. He has helmet. Everywhere is protected. David is going in his shorts and singlet. So he thought, I have said that I will go to him in the name of the Lord now. Why is the problem running towards me? And that's a mistake a lot of people make. Every time they start using their faith, they say it's not working. Why are you like that? There's a teaching I taught some years ago. What's wrong with you? That's the title. I can't teach it again. What is wrong with you? Why are you like this? Imagine typing something, why are you like this? Is part of it I tweaked when I taught you, let God change you. And I changed topic, let God change you. I can't say, why are you like this again? Amen. Alright. He was running towards Goliath. Like, Pastor, when I started praying about it, everything just scattered. The Goliath is running towards you. Sometimes you think the devil will back off. He won't. He's running towards the giant. The giant is running towards him. Then I say, I thought the giant will run back. Imagine David now running back again. I thought he would run back. He's not going to run back. He's a giant. Pastor, as I was using my faith, everything just scattered. If I before the pain was just like 3/10. Now, oh God, I should have just known. Who asked me to even pray about it? Who asked me to even go and tell Pastor? Who asked me to even start fasting about it? Then everything has just scattered. No. You are at the battlefield. You are saying the wrong things. You are saying the wrong things. This is not the time. You are talking about the mountain too much. That's not faith. Bible says, he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine, verse 41, came on and drew near to David. And the man that bear the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about, he saw David. He disdained him.
for he was a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistines said unto David, observe who said something first. The Philistine spoke to David, am I a dog? Sometimes these kind of words are in your head. So you just hear a teaching about faith. I don't know why my mind keeps going to healing tonight. So just hear a teaching about faith. And then you say, but this is my own situation. It's not malaria. That's what Goliath is saying. Am I a dog? Sometimes, thank you Jesus. Sometimes the mountain reduces what you think you have done. David said, I've killed the bear and the lion. The lion said, I don't care. That's a dog. You killed a dog. You thought you have walked in faith. Oh, I've killed a lion. You killed a dog. There's a way people will just undermine what you have done. Say, that's a fluke now. He said, this is cancer we are talking about. This is kidney issue we are talking about. Do you know kidney issue? Then you go online. Kidney disease. Fatality rate. Or mortality rate, rather. Hey, what's happening? The giant is speaking. The giant is speaking. Now, let's read on. Am I a dog that you've come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Thank you, Jesus. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you defy this day. This day will I, with the Lord, deliver you into my hand. And I will smite you. And I will take your head from you. Observe. Exactly what Goliath said he was going to do to David. David said, I'm going to do it to you. Don't let the devil have the final words. Don't allow him to have the final words. Goliath started talking first. But David had the final words. David had the final words. Don't let the devil have the final words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, David could have just been intimidated. Am I a dog? You come to me with staves. I will give your head to the flesh of this. Hey, that's not the agreement, though. You just said you would kill me. I'll give you to the beast on the field. Today you will know why they call me Goliath of God. Are you done? I hope you know the God of Israel. Because now he need to fight so. Amen. So what is the exact thing he said? David then spoke to the mountain. He didn't go back to Saul and start talking about it. He said he would give me to the beast of the field. Is that true? No. He said, come. That was this. And David said to the Philistine, you put God's word in your mouth. I told you, if you keep quiet, you lose by default. There are words that only words can win. He had won Goliath before the fight started. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, is there something you want to happen? You've got to put it in your mouth. Goliath spoke, David spoke. Goliath spoke, David spoke. Don't let the devil have the final words. Amen. Jesus gave you a typical example in Matthew 4. Bible says, when the tempter came, and he told him, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Bible says, and he took him to the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, look at all the kingdom of the world, the glory thereof. I'll give them unto you if you can bow before me. He said, you should worship only your God, only the Lord your God, and him alone will you serve. The devil took him again. You know, observe, every time Jesus had a final say, every time, pray for me as I close, every time he had the final words, never let the devil have the final words. Listen, sometimes it's in your head. You see, this is your imagination. Sanctify it. You know, in your head, everything, put it in your what? Don't say, it's in my head. It's just in my head. I've told you, when something comes to your thought, how do you counter it? With your words. Don't let the devil have the final say. Goliath spoke, David spoke. The mountain needs to hear your voice. Don't forget, as in the school of faith, I said sometimes you're using your faith and it appears that the problem is not getting smaller. It appears like everything is even just getting more complicated. Sometimes it's like that. But the mountain needs to hear your voice. There's something the mountain is saying. There's something the sickness is saying. You say, it's just sickness now. It's not,
There's something it is saying. It's saying you cannot serve God like you have to be limited. It's saying you have to live your life with this pain. It's saying you have to live your life like this. I'm going to delimit you. I'm going to determine your boundaries. You must say something back. You must say something back. You must say something back. The Lord of Jacob is our refuge. He keeps us. He keeps us. He keeps us. He says, those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, they will abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my strength. You must put God's word in your mouth. You must put it in your mouth. You must use it. The mountain is... See, faith is not pretty. What did I say? Faith ain't pretty. It's not pretty. He doesn't have a nice face. No. Faith is audacious. Faith is loud. Faith always talk in the room. Faith always say what he wants. Faith is bold about what God has said. You must walk in faith. Sometimes we just think, oh, it's just life now. This thing happens to people. Pastor, you don't know this thing happens to people normally. What concerns me? I'm not people. I know what I want. And if God's word says I can get what I want, I'm going to get it. His victory is mine. Every day of my life. I'm not a victim of circumstances. I'm not a victim of situations. You know, I just don't wait to say, if it happens, oh, I don't mind. I'm not there, no, I don't mind. I say what I want and I get what I say. I get what I say. That's what the Bible says. It says, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And you don't doubt it. And you believe what you say, you have what you say. I believe God's word. Come on. You say, I have what I say. I'm not waiting for circumstances. If it eventually, sometimes we are lucky. Oh, no. I'm always lucky. Listen, sometimes in your life, there are seasons that you can just, that season, everything will just be working. And the time my dad said, there's a time in your life that you must know it. You must know it. In every man's life, there's a time in his life where things will just be working very well. I said, I'm always in season. You don't know about it. Every time. I don't have one season of the miraculous. The other season, no. It's up and forward and onwards. It's progress all my life. The power of God always working. The spirit of God always working. The word of God always working. That's my life. That's my story. It's an unending progress report. Thank you, Jesus. You know, as you do ministry and all that, you must learn to also use God's word in your natural. Because sometimes the natural can hinder what you're doing for God. So you must learn to use it. You must learn to use it. We must teach it. There's no mountain too big. There's no mountain too small. God's word is greater. I walk with the greater. Thank you, Jesus. You stir up your faith. Sometimes it's the lion. Sometimes it's the bear. Sometimes it's the Goliath of Gath and his four brothers. In any circumstance, we are victorious. We are victorious. If it's God's will, it might be God's will. No, if it's God's will, I told you, he will not ask you to move the mountain. He told you, you will say to the mountain. He's not going to help you. He has told you what to do. There are times where we are waiting on God and God is waiting on you. He said, go off power. This is in your purview. This is what you should be doing. I don't know, even my discipleship. You're talking about the mountain. You talk too much. Hallelujah. Put your words in the right place. Put it in the right place. That's how I tell people. Sometimes you're speaking in tongues. Listen very well. You punctuate it. Eh? What I call it? You punctuate your tongues. God's power is working. Yeah, you go again. Amen. You are punctuating tongues with faith. Is that clear? That's how to pray. That's how to pray. You say what you want. You say what you want. How you want it. You say, I know God is just taking care of me. You have a lot of part to play. I know that things will just work out like that. Sometimes you're going to take the stone. Goliath is not going to go away. You have to run towards him. Sometimes you have pushed the problem far, far, far. When I get here, I know this God. Well, maybe when I'm 25, you know, everything will. I know when I'm 30, and Goliath is still there. Sometimes you have to run towards it. You've been pushing it all these years. You've been enduring it all these years. Sometimes it saps the strength out of you thinking about it. I don't know what it is. Sometimes you think about it and then you just go to bed. Sometimes it makes you just feel like serving God is work. Face the giant. He's not that big. God's word is greater. You run towards it. I told you, when running towards Goliath, you don't run with your mouth shut. Is that clear? It's number one rule in the school of faith. When you're running towards the giant, your mouth must be open. You keep talking because he's talking. He just said he will give you to the beast of the field. You keep talking too. He just said he will give you to the fowl of the air. You keep talking too. He just said, you know what? All your mates might do this. Guess what? This is where you're going to be. This is where you're going to be. You see it in your head. Sometimes you're online. Someone just say, hey. And say, yeah. They're just talking about you. Nah. It's time to use God's word. It's time to stand, Gidiba, and say to the mountain, I don't want you here. Not anymore. You've disturbed me for so long. Not anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, in the name of the God of Israel, in the name of the Holy One of Jacob, you are out of the way. I don't want to see you anymore. Whatever that is, sometimes you're hiding it from people. Sometimes a part of you don't want to tell anyone. Sometimes a part of you are scared that the moment it gets exposed to the light, everyone is going to run. I don't know I can even live with it. I don't know how it can be part of my life. Hey! That thing can go. It can happen. It can go. You put God's word in your mouth. Never run at the giant with your mouth shut. Keep it open. Keep it open. And confess his promises, knowing fully well, faithful is he that promised, because he's able to bring it to pass. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and will not doubt what he said, he will have what he said. No clauses, no conditions, nothing. He just said, you will have what you say. So you want to say it, huh? Go ahead and talk. In the school of faith, there's nothing to be shy about. You quickly talk about it. Quickly talk to the mountain now. Never are you going to remain here. Every part of my life is working fine. There's a reason why. There's a reason why he teaches us. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. Go ahead. Speak it. I've told you how to do it. You speak in tongues, punctuate it with your words of faith. Now punctuate it. Or you can speak the words of faith and punctuate it with tongues. Anyhow. Everything is working for my good every day. Everything is working for my pleasures every time. I don't have to see the ones walking behind the scene. All I know is that me. All I know is the script is working now for me. Everything is working for my good every day. Everything is working for my pleasures every time. I don't have to see the ones walking behind the scene. All I know is the script is working out for me. I don't have to see the ones walking behind the scene. All I know is... Say it. He will have what he says. Never let the devil have the final words. This is your turn. The final words are yours. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I'm not a victim. This is not the time to be lazy to talk. The mountain is to hear your voice. Sometimes that's all that is needed to victory. The mountain is to hear your voice. That thing that is causing a big scare and a great fear is taken away from in the front of you. And you're walking victorious. And you're walking victorious. And you're walking victorious. You're walking victorious. The giant will be slain. The giant will be slain. In your family, in your work, in your career, in your ministry, in your health. The giant will be slain. The giant will be slain. The fear is out of the way. The impossible, the seeming impossible, is happening now. The supernatural. God's help is mine. I see it every day. I'm dependent on Him. He's my Father. He moves mountains. He makes streams to spring forth in the desert and way in the wilderness. And I believe for the supernatural. I believe for the miraculous. I believe for the impossible. Because God's word is working. And His power is working. I'm alive by the Spirit of God. The problem is out of the way. Lord, we call Jesus.